Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show, wherever you get it, iTunes, Stitcher, your Android device, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. Thanks for all the iTunes reviews as well. You guys have been crushing it. iTunes comments and reviews. If you haven't done so yet, give a five-star rating on the iTunes page right now while you're listening to the intro. Comment on the iTunes page helps us climb the charts, and we appreciate the love. Today's episode, it's a good one, man. It's a buddy of mine I've known for since I started comedy. We were doing stand-up together, and then he has shifted to the directing world and is crushing it. Directed a shit ton of sketches for Chelsea Lately. He directed a bunch of stuff for Nick Swartzen's Pretend Time on Comedy Central. He's directing YouTube's first original series. It's called Sing It on YouTube Red, which you can subscribe to on YouTube. He directed that. He's directed scenes in Grown Ups, The Longest Yard, Jack and Jill, That's My Boy. He went to Harvard with Mark Zuckerberg. He's got stories from that. He's got stories of growing up as Adam Sandler's nephew, so having Sandler as an uncle. He's got some killer Sandler stories and the advice he gave him, jumping into the comedy world. Also, Tyler was with me when I was in San Diego and almost got arrested, so that was crazy. I love this episode so much. You guys are going to as well. Please check out Tyler's new YouTube Red series, Sing It, on YouTube. It's great. He's killing it. You're going to get to know Tyler now through this episode because you're going to be like, oh, that Tyler, the guy on the About Last Night podcast, the guy who's the big comedy director in Hollywood now? Yeah, he's on his way. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. Follow the podcast on Twitter at ALN Podcast. At ALN Podcast on Instagram. I'm at AdamRay33 on Instagram. Brad is Brad Williams Comic. Brad's special, Daddy Issues, premiered last week on Showtime, and I think it's available on demand now, so go check that out. And go check out Brad. He's doing stand-up, building that new hour yet again. He's in Naples, Florida this week, May 26th and 27th. Tonight and tomorrow at Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, Florida. Go see Brad there. And then next week, June 2nd, through June 4th, Brad will be headlining the Brea Improv in Brea, California. Go see Brad headline the Brea Improv June 2nd through the 4th. Tickets at improv.com. Tonight through Sunday, I'm headlining the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana in Vegas, baby. Tonight through Sunday, two shows a night, 8:30 and 10:30. I apologize to all you guys who came out either Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. I had some acting gigs going on, doing a part in a Jeff Garland Netflix movie and some other stuff. And I had to cancel those shows. But I am there tonight through Sunday, 8:30 and 10:30, Laugh Factory at the Tropicana in Vegas. Get your tickets at AdamRayTV.com. And then next weekend, I'm going to be headlining the American Comedy Company in San Diego. Coming back to San Diego, June 3rd through the 5th. Really pumped. Bring my boy Avery Pearson to do some music. Improvise songs at the end. Bring my boy Quincy Jones to feature. Quincy's HBO special, of course, comes out next week as well. So a lot of great stuff going on. So get your tickets for Vegas tonight through Sunday or American Comedy Company in San Diego next weekend, June 3rd through the 5th. All those tickets at AdamRayTV.com. All the merch for ALN, estoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com to get your hats, shirts, mugs, posters. We've got some new promo picks coming. Our girl Nicole Bisek took some new promo picks for us. I teased a couple of them online, but they're going to be fucking incredible. And we're going to put those on the merch store soon for you guys to buy. Shit, man, I think that's it. Some exciting news on the horizon. Can't share it yet. Should be able to in the next few weeks. But some really cool stuff could be happening, and I can't wait to share it. But in the meantime, now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles, that's all the merch info, and now, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with our buddy, the hilarious Tyler Spindell.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a dope podcast. It's about last night.
Can you hear yourself? Yeah.
Do you feel like an Academy Award winner now?
Closer.
Have you done a podcast before?
This is my first.
Yeah.
We're popping cherry.
So thank you guys.
Yeah. Come on,
dude. Making it happen.
Oh, yeah. I was pumped. I'm trying to think how far back you and I go. I feel like it's, you know, there's a handful of people where I'm like, I met the person when we both kind of like, not the day that we started, because I think we've both been in comedy and just funny our whole lives, but like at the Comedy Store is what I remember meeting you through Dan Levy.
Oh yeah, through Levy.
And you had done a sketch. We were both doing video stuff, but you had something on the front page of MySpace. And
that's a long time ago.
That's prime real estate.
It was a big deal in
the early aughts.
That was a big deal.
And I'm not even saying it like to be mocking. I'm saying it like that was, yeah.
Back in the day, that was the thing.
I remember when friends would like, when it was a moral debate, when you sat there like, okay, who gets my top eight? Like, who's in my top eight? Because...
And people would have like
some hearts are gonna break.
People would have the character of Ross, but not you. And you're like, God damn it! Like, you know, like Facebook at least doesn't do that sort of like categorizing.
Yeah. I'm glad because then you don't have to. There's not that phone call, that really awkward phone call that someone makes to you, and it's like, bro, thought we were friends.
Yeah.
Thought we were pals.
But I guess I'm dead to you.
Yeah.
And I guess Obama's alter ego, who has a MySpace page. I mean, who was in your top eight? Do you remember?
Dude, I don't think I even made a top eight. That's how dumb I was on MySpace. I like literally would post a video, and then my buddy Mike Jaglin, I don't know if you remember him, but he would just run the whole thing.
Awesome.
And that was it. And then
the video you posted that got the front page access was a Valentine's Day video.
Yes. That was my big hit. That was my big hit.
That's video. Yeah. Is it still out there? It's got to be.
It's still out there. I think it's up to like 12 million views or
something. What a dumb question. Is it still out there? If it was posted on the internet, it ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell, my dick pic from high school is still out there. Wait, what?
Well, people should go look that up. That was – and also because that was right when I started to really try to put out content. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of comedians were doing it, which is why like Divine and I bonded, because he was doing stuff with Mail Order Comedy, which then became Workaholics, and you and Dan Levy was doing stuff.
That's right.
So there was a handful. And so,
I used to love that thing you did, Perry Woodcock.
Perry Woodcock.
That was the best.
You know what? Perry would work, but everybody thinks Woodcock, but it should have just been Woodcock, because it was a porn star who left porn to do acting. Real acting. He wanted to be the next Matt Damon. And everybody goes, I love Perry Woodcock. And I go, God damn it. I thought it was so cool that his name was Perry Woodwork. I liked that name. But because he was a porn star, everybody was like, hey, I love that character, Cocky Fuckballs. What was his name?
Cocky Fuckballs.
I mean, that should have been it.
If like Sesame Street had a porn character, that would be his name. Cocky Fuckballs. Not that Sesame Street would have a porn character, but I don't know. They're on HBO now. Yeah. I'm not judging.
Yeah, but that was a dope vid tie. Wow.
Thanks,
so when did you start doing like sketches and stuff?
In college, I decided that.
At Harvard?
At Harvard, yep, that's right.
They have people who do comedy at Harvard.
Just a couple. I wasn't in the Lampoon, even though I probably should have joined.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I started doing stand-up in college, and my uncle was yelling at me to start shooting sketches, and so I started running around. And
now, why did he say, and your uncle, by the way, we can say.
Yeah, my uncle's Adam Sandler. It was actually a different uncle who was yelling at me, though.
Oh, shit.
Scott. Oh, really?
Yes.
You would think it would be the comedic uncle.
No, he was telling me not to do it. He said, don't... What are you doing?
Sandler's like, I have a nephew? What? At Harvard?
Wait, now, why did he not want you?
No family member of mine.
No, he did, but he said, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
He said, you're at Harvard, make sure, you know, if this is what you want to do.
Yeah, because I want to ask you about that. Because being at Harvard, like, that's one of those schools where, like, if I say that I went to NC State, mm-hmm. like, there's not too many follow-up questions.
Right.
And that's not saying that NC State's not a bad school.
No.
It's a great institution of learning. But when you say, like, when someone says, where'd you go to school? And you say, oh, I went to Harvard. Like, is there...
You always do it under your breath like that, though.
It's
part of going there. You learn that.
And
why?
Yeah, why?
You're supposed to try to be embarrassed so that you don't act like an asshole.
What a shitty thing
that people like just assume. Like, yeah. I mean, I hear it and I'm like, hell yeah. Also, Conan went there, right?
Yeah, Conan went there.
So I feel like, okay, and now Tyler Spindell.
That's
so
right. We're right next to each other.
I like that the alums of Harvard University are like, Conan O'Brien. You know, like, we've had presidents.
Yeah, we like Conan, though.
Yeah.
Oh. That's a, no, I'm saying that's a big deal for Harvard.
Yeah, for Harvard, because exactly. That's somebody who's famous.
That cools it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
As far as, like, comedy being like, oh, shit, like, it's not just a...
But, man, if I went to Harvard, I would be saying it every time. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the Saved by the Bell episode where the guidance counselor was, like, he faked like he was a guidance counselor, and he was, like, said he was... From Stansbury, not Stanford, and he always pronounced Harvard. Harvard every time, and that's what I would.
By the way, if you could have seen Brad's face in that moment,
the veins.
He looked like he was going to be the first exploding dwarf live on a podcast. But you're right, that was amazing. So that's what we grew up with.
Yes.
What did you grow up with? What did you think of Harvard before you went there?
Listen, I was always excited to go. My family was kind of like, if you turn into a prick, though, we're going to kill you. They were worried when I got in there that I was going to
turn into your family is like, oh, shit. What happened? He got into Harvard.
Yeah, they definitely were excited, but not, they just were worried that I turned into an asshole.
Well, sure, because the same way we ask how do people react when you say you're from there, there's preconceived notions of what that's going to do to you and the kind of person you're going to become. And I mean, like, were you an outgoing, funny guy, like, funny kid?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So then they were worried that, like, oh, man, he's going to go out and hang out with nerds and try to invent a new rocket fuel.
There's got to be people like that, though, that you went to school with.
Yeah, well, I knew Zuckerberg back in the day.
Shut the fuck up.
I remember.
Do we have to delete all the MySpace talk earlier?
Yeah, we do.
Can you talk about Zuckerberg?
I remember he went around to my freshman dorm and asked us all to join Facebook. Wow. Literally went to our dorm.
Holy shit, that's grassroots marketing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
my God.
And we were all like, oh, all right, I guess we'll do it. We didn't even know what it was.
And he seemed like a nice enough guy.
He was
that
nice.
Was,
yeah, I mean, I didn't know him well, but I knew him a little bit.
Did you know the Winklevoss twins?
I didn't, but I got some buddies who knew them.
All right. Yeah, they were the guys that created the rival Facebook that then sued,
of course,
Mark Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm.
Wait, so
$1 billion.
So then the whole face smash, or no, what was it? The compare, the hot or not, or what?
I actually didn't even realize that was happening. I didn't know. I guess it clearly happened.
Do you remember? So the whole school shutting down because of the, like, was that a
that
might be
know.
Fabricated
I
a little
think,
bit.
I think that was all stretched in the movie. Mm-hmm. I do remember him creating Facebook, though. It was called the Facebook.
Yeah.
But I do remember. I think the whole face mash thing.
So he came to your dorm and was like, look, I got this thing that I stole. I'm sorry. I got this thing that I made.
What if
he just catches himself? Stole. I mean, did I just made it on my own because I'm a brilliant guy? Okay. And then you're like, yeah, whatever. Because I guess in college, too, you yes and most stuff because it's new and exciting. And also another student that maybe is trying to start something, you're like, fuck yeah, dude. Like,
Right.
How do you think I got into a slam poetry reading at some coffee house? Because some kid just came up to me like, come to my poetry reading. I was like, all right, I'm not doing nothing.
Yeah. What else am I doing? I'm fucking 19.
Yeah.
No. Responsibilities are not aplenty. Exactly. So, and what were, you were studying what at Harvard?
I was a history major, which was useless, but I'm glad I did it.
What did you
want to
do with it?
I don't know. Harvard was weird. They didn't have any, like, real majors, right? Like, you can't... everything was theoretical. Mm-hmm. And so you could study, like, the English language or history or,
philosophy.
Like... Philosophy. Economics. But they always said you got to go to graduate school. So everything you're basically learning how to learn, is what they said.
Wow. Campus is gorgeous.
Campus was gorgeous.
And it's in Boston.
Yeah, Cambridge.
Yeah.
That's why you always say, I went to a little school in Cambridge.
Yeah.
You may have heard of it. It's called... do that 5 more times on this podcast.
Okay.
At least.
Yeah. Was it your first choice of school?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Ty, I don't want to say you haven't not struck me as an intelligent person, but that's crazy.
Well, yeah, I do. That does surprise a lot of people. I don't know if that's a good thing.
No, but you know what it is too? But again, like, because of the, what you,
right,
picture.
I do dick jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but the most intelligent dick jokes we've ever seen.
Yeah. Very well-worded dick jokes.
Yeah, I mean, you don't strike us as a Harvard guy. You're not wearing a smoking jacket
right now.
That's right.
But I have one in the car.
Well. In case there's an impromptu Harvard reunion, you're like, I got to be ready.
Now, I actually skipped a little Harvard thing tonight.
Really?
What? Yeah, to come do this.
Oh, Ty.
Well, you know, I'm not really friends with them.
So that just shows you. You skip out on a Harvard thing to hang out with two guys from USC. Suck it, Harvard. Trojans win.
That's suck it.
Right.
Suck it what?
Suck it, Harvard. Suck it. Oh, but
I want you to do it one more time, but that time I legitimately thought you were going to pass out.
I was going for that because I thought, you know what? That'd be a great moment.
Wait, now, how were the comedy shows received in Harvard?
They were good.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of comedy there.
Because that's a great comedy city.
Mm-hmm. Boston was awesome. The crowds, I thought, were a little harder, at least for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are used to good comedy, and when you're just starting out, they're like, fuck you, dude. You better be funny.
Well, yeah. And what kind of stuff do you remember you were doing?
I remember eating it a lot in Boston. That's what I remember. I remember there was this place called Nick's Comedy Stop.
Yes.
You guys ever do that?
Yeah.
And you used to have to, it was like a kind of like a dance club, and there was like a little performance stage.
Yeah.
And I remember it was like maybe the sixth time I'd ever done stand-up, and I got up there, and holy shit, man, it was just rugged.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. And Boston was great. Finally, by the time I graduated, I got good enough to, you know.
Now, does Sandler give you any, when he knows you're doing it, I mean, did you like watch old tapes of him? Did he?
Yeah, I definitely ripped him off a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we all do.
We're all emulating who you love.
Yeah,
and if who you love is fucking somebody who's killing it,
right?
Why would you not be like, all right, well, that's an easy way to get my name out there is to do what that is
that and
working.
That and you're like, well, if he finds out I'm his nephew, he kind of has to love me.
Right. You can't get too mad at me.
Yeah, if Steve Martin was my uncle, I would have been opening with banjo shit all day long.
Sure. Arrow to the head, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, he was very encouraging and gave me a lot of good ideas in the beginning.
I'm always curious to what that's like for people who come up with a family member who is successful in the comedy business, how much they want to be involved and how much they want, you know, because I heard him Will Smith say before Jaden Smith ruined the Karate Kid franchise that he was like, I won't tell him not to, but I would like dig if he didn't do that, because he was just like, you know, they know how tough it is. And so,
right.
So he didn't, did he come
I mean,
with,
he told me how hard it was, but, you know, he said, listen, if you want to do it and I'll help you, you know, I'll support you. And he's helped me with so
yeah,
much
I mean,
shit,
letting you,
know?
You direct a lot of stuff in
he's been
movies.
Fucking, yeah. Yeah, he used to help me workshop jokes and shit. He was great. He used to come to a lot of my shows, like more than some of my friends. It was crazy.
I saw him, well, when the night you and Brandon and I went out and had a crazy LA night. Maybe one of like the that I remember as an adult, like post girlfriend, like crazy night where like we met girls, we hung out, we like did like at a show, we went to two random house parties, then went back to Ty's place.
That's a night.
And we're walking in and everything was great already. And then we walk in because your place is where Adam used to live, right?
He never lived there.
Okay.
But it was a place that he had kind of just gotten.
And, right.
You know.
And so we walk in, and everything's already great. And we're, you know, Ty and Brandon and I, we're all like cool, charismatic dudes. And hey, man, when you've come off stage, you're riding that high.
That's right.
And then you get these girls, and we go from party to party. And then we walk in, and then I remember literally just maybe after 20 minutes or looking, and one of them goes, you've got a lot of pictures of you and Adam Sandler. And Ty goes, Yeah. And still very cool, didn't even mention it. And then she was like, that's weird. And I was like, okay. And then like a couple minutes later, it was like, what do you like, know him? And then he's like, at that point, you got to drop the info.
Right.
That's right.
He goes, he's my uncle. And at that point, it was almost like a light went off above their head that was playing a movie of them having sex with us. Because it was like, the deal has been sealed.
You know what? And good for you for not like the same way you do with the whole Harvard thing. I went to a school in Cambridge.
I understand.
and then randomly you'll throw in a Harvard, like one of those. But but that's great that you don't, because it would be easy to just. Because I see people that are in Hollywood that are claiming relation to people that are not even close to even being famous. It's like, hey. You know the guy that was the assistant coach in the movie The Mighty Ducks? That's my cousin's postman.
Well, I'd be bragging about that all the time.
Like,
by
you're
the
like,
way.
All right.
Any relation to MD?
Yeah, sure.
So when you were as a kid, like in Connecticut, right?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, that's right. what were your influences? What did you see early? Like, what were you doing that was making people laugh?
I mean, man, I was in elementary school. I was a fat kid and nervous and wasn't really trying to be funny. Just
right.
was like sinking in the background.
Just trying to like get
trying
through
to,
it.
Trying to get through it. Trying to lose weight. And, yeah. you know.
What were your methods? Because I was a fat kid too. And eventually just, because I think we have good metabolism as a kid. And eventually you just go, I'll stop double fisting Pop-Tarts and dipping them in Raisin Bran Cool Whip. Which, that's not an item. You had to put the Raisin Bran in the Cool Whip and then cover the Pop-Tart in it.
It's very,
so,
it's very creative.
And then because I was so active, then the weight just fell off. So what was your...
Honestly, what the crazy thing that happened is I actually never even thought about this until now. I couldn't lose weight, and then I suddenly started going to the gym, but I would just hang out there and never work out because I was too embarrassed.
To even work out?
Yeah, because
I didn't want to jiggle on the treadmill.
Well, yeah, yeah. But then,
makes sense.
I swear to God, MTV, Genie in a Bottle came out. The music video, and I would get on the treadmill and just be so entranced by that video that I would just keep working out.
Oh, like, my God. That's the most really? Amazing yeah. shit. So you just couldn't stop. So
I just get on the treadmill or the elliptical and wait, I would just watch.
That video is only like 4 minutes. So were you doing 4 minute workouts?
Well,
or
no, but then they would, like, I would get into like
TRL, baby.
TRL, and like Britney's also. When,
come on, there were a lot of great videos that were playing.
Yeah, it was like a big deal, and I would.
Dude, does this remind you of Fat Tyler?
This reminds me of losing weight.
That's incredible,
do
dude.
Kinda,
yeah.
Do you kind of want to do some push-ups right
I
now?
Do, or I do. Can we hold on for a second?
I mean, my go-to song is the Rocky theme, but sure, this works too.
All right, that's enough, because I did different things to that video, and it's happening again right now. But that's amazing, dude. That's where you find the inspiration.
You see that hot girl, and you're like, you know what? I can do this.
Yeah.
Hey, man, TRL did that. I remember I learned how to dance from the Usher video My Way.
Really?
That was the video that taught me how to dance.
That's funny.
Because I went to a dance and all the cool kids were like on the side, like dancing stupid. But then I saw girls like rubbing up on guys that were dancing. So I'm like, oh well, fuck that. I want to be out there. So, but
that's stupid.
Yeah, but I don't know how to dance. So then I like went home and I just like, all right, what videos have dancing in them? Like, all right, Britney Spears, no, can't do that move.
Can't do the Backstreet Boys. It's too slow.
Yeah, too slow. Ah, Usher, My Way, and. To this day, I can do that fucking spin leg kick like a champ.
All right, well, you will be doing that when this podcast is over.
Sure.
I cannot wait for that. I cannot wait.
That's amazing. All right, so then when you drop some LBs, do you get a little more confident?
Yeah, then it just slowly got more confidence. Mm-hmm. And Brandon, who you know I went to high school with, and I met him in high school, and he was the funniest kid in high school.
One of the funniest dudes I think I know out here.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Quietly funny. You know,
funny.
Where it's like, I think, he's not gonna such a great dude that he's but I feel like he's like, you know, get to know me a little bit and then I'll show you like what
right.
you get to
I
be
come
what
off
you get to hang around.
Initially but when you get to know me
bit.
I'm really funny
yeah for sure
that, you know what, that's quite a few guys in this town, so no big deal.
So but yeah, you guys, I started hanging with him and he was the funniest, and then I kind of started, you know,
he helped open you up a little bit.
Yeah, he totally did. He totally
and
did.
What was like your guys' humor stuff? I mean, just I guess everything a kid did in high school,
yeah,
then, right?
Man,
quoting
like,
shit.
Quoting shit, talking about hot dogs. You know, like,
did you guys prank people
we
or
pranked people a little bit? We did pranks. Yeah, we started making stupid videos and writing bad scripts.
Yeah.
And is at this point, are you even thinking that this is something that you'd be interested in as a future, or is it just like, oh, this is just fun?
At that point, it was fun. It was just fun.
Okay.
It came I think it was my freshman year of college. I went out to visit my uncle on one of his sets, and mm-hmm. then it was just over. And then I was like,
"You're
oh,
like, I need to be here."
Set? Do you remember?
The Longest Yard.
Holy shit!
I was a PA on the Longest Yard. I wrangled cable for the video department, and it was literally the best summer of my life. Still,
I mean, break it down. I mean, like, okay.
How you're much going- do you love Burt Reynolds?
I love Burt Reynolds.
Come
he
on.
Was awesome, actually. I became friends with Nelly that summer. Like, not great friends, but, you know, friends.
Dude, I mean,
you became
friends. When you come back, like, you definitely have the best How I Spent My Summer Vacation story.
Yeah.
We're like, we went to Yosemite.
Yeah.
We went on hikes. It was awesome.
Nelly showed me how to put a Band-Aid on my face.
Yeah,
right.
So suck it.
That's right.
Okay, so, at that point, Adam's like, did you say, let me know when you want to start to get a taste? Or do you have to come at him and go?
I forget how it happened,
right.
But I don't know. I'm pretty I'm pretty sure I was like, hey, can I come out?
And good on him for kind of putting you in a, you know, being like, yeah, I'm going to throw you a job, but I'm also not going to just immediately be like, yo, you're script supervisor or some sort of big. It's like, you got to kind of pay your dues a little bit.
At the time, though, I didn't understand why he wasn't making me script supervisor.
You're like, dude, I'm your fucking nephew. Yeah.
I don't get to skip the script supervisor.
I don't get to be Burt Reynolds. Like, what is...
Yeah. Do I get to tackle Michael Irvin at some point? Like,
so that was filmed in where?
Santa Fe.
Wow.
It was awesome. That was a great summer.
So, I mean, every day is just... And then you're getting to watch...
Yeah.
Shoot your... I mean...
I got to stay in a hotel with, like, this unbelievable cast and hang out with everybody.
Chris Rock. Chris Nelly.
All the wrestlers. Jesus. Football player Kevin Nash.
Goldberg was in that. Steve Austin was in that. Yeah.
And it was just the best.
And were you...
Tracy Morgan.
That's right.
Playing the girl with the guy. Cheerleader. Oh, my God.
Tracy Morgan and my sister used to sing karaoke literally every night. It was unbelievable.
So there was like a party every night, or just like, I guess,
yeah,
after you
it was
rap,
pretty much, yeah, it was pretty, it was unbelievable.
Santa Fe too. That's, I think that's almost like comedy camp where it's like,
yeah,
you're shooting a movie out in the middle of nowhere. And then, so you're all kind of together. So at night it's like, there's only a few places to go to, right?
Yeah. We'd go to the same couple bars and
what would they sing karaoke?
Yeah. I was about to say, Tracy Morgan sing for karaoke?
I don't remember, but I do remember him having a crush on my sister though. That was the craziest.
So is that you being like, whoa, man, it's Tracy Morgan, but it's
protective
my sister.
Brother.
Do I have to like defend? Like, yeah. What do I got to do? Do I have to go?
It was awkward. It was awkward because I love Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Maybe do I have to tell Bill Goldberg to step in and maybe fight this battle for me? He's a lot bigger.
Yeah.
But what do you remember from that summer as far as like that you remember, like, I mean, obviously probably so many aha, amazing moments, but like when you went back, you were like, oh, cool, I feel more well-versed in this because I got to, because watching it is just as important as doing it, right?
Right. I mean, man, I definitely thought I learned a lot of things,
yeah,
but I was also like 19,
yeah,
and I think I just, everything I learned was superficial,
right,
and like just about girls,
yeah,
and you know, not paying attention to the right things,
yeah,
but
being on the set was,
but
so
it was
crucial.
The best. I mean, yeah, it hooked me on it, yeah, like watching the guy Peter Siegel was the director, watching him direct.
No, Pete, he's been here,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
he's
met Pete
podcast
through doing an MTV or auditioning for an MTV testing for it. Didn't get it. Him and I hit it off because he's good friends with Paul Feig. We had him on the podcast and he
told us Tommy Boy stories for an
hour.
Yeah,
I mean, he's
awesome.
He's the man.
The best.
Yeah,
he's the best.
Wow, so you got to watch him.
So I got to watch him and I got hooked and I got to watch, you know, Adam work and all those guys, and it was, you know, I was just like, man, I got to do this.
And then when that's going on, are you thinking, I want to be in front of the camera or I want to be behind the camera?
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah.
At first I said, wow, I want to be a movie star.
Right.
It looks like the best job ever.
You know, it looks like the greatest job ever.
Yeah. Sure.
And then I, you know, acted for a little while and said, you know what, I want to direct that.
You're a good actor and you're likable on camera.
Thanks, man.
And
I'll make a cameo at some point.
You're going to do what Feig does.
Oh, I would love. Yeah. Yes, that would be the ideal.
Yeah. Sure, little things. I mean, hell, Stan Lee is 93 years old and still makes cameo in every fucking Marvel movie.
No,
so
he just
deserves that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was gonna make an old person joke, but how dare I do that? I played Wolverine for 4 years, and that fed my mouth.
Exactly. So you speak no ill will of Stan Lee. He created your job. Without him, there is no Wolverine.
So then you go back and you're like, all right, now I got to go. But you're back to...
back to Harvard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going, shit.
What am I doing?
Three more years till I get to leave this place.
And there's no inclination to maybe drop out? Not even...
I would have been killed.
Yeah.
They would have
killed me. Just can't do it.
Yeah. And you know what? Good for you for not putting that on your uncle, like saying, you know what? I spent one summer.
Right.
Fuck it. I'm throwing away Harvard. Right. Uncle, give me a life. Like, that's not... You didn't do that.
Yeah, I waited 3 years to say that to him.
Awesome. Yeah, give him a little time. A little prep.
And then the directing bug.
I guess kind of when I was acting.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, man, I was, you know, doing those little sketches. I was like, man, you know, I kind of wanted to direct them too.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to.
Yeah.
And then so I kind of learned from guys who would direct my sketches. Like, I learned from Payman Benz, who you probably know.
Yes. Also been on the podcast.
Really?
Also
been on the podcast.
Yeah. Payman's the man.
Who I love, who's a great buddy.
I met
man.
Him through you.
Yeah, that's
because,
right.
Yeah, because you, well, I think also through seeing your, you said you directed the Valentine's Day video?
No, he directed Valentine's
Day. Okay, cool. That's how I knew that, because I clicked on that, and then what came up one was his
awkward pictures.
Yes, awkward pictures, mm-hmm. and his impression video.
Yeah, which was the funniest.
He did, Brad. I think I've showed it to you. He did 50 like great impressions and like whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and he's basically just. It's just like. A one of a kind thing because it was so many people were posting like a million impressions in 2 minutes,
right?
And really, some were great impressions, and some were people trying to do impressions. And Payman does all those impressions and more. But it's just like at one point it was like, you know, Sylvester Stallone. And he's like, "Hey, I'm Sylvester Stallone," and it was like Tony Danza goes, "Hey, I'm Tony Danza." And then one was like, I mean, he was just hilarious. Yeah, one was Madonna, and he just was going, "Yeah."
I like that because whenever someone does like a 100 impressions in 1 minute,
right.
it's never like one really great impression.
No, it's all the ones
it's like
anybody
all,
can do.
Yeah, it's all like, all right, I'm trying to do walking now and it's not coming to me. But
Brad
trying to do walking, so it's like I can do walking, and I can do Jack Nicholson, and it's like you just go from. But it's
to
all
Kermit
the ones.
The Frog,
yeah,
to like, Sean Connery.
Are you doing Yoda? Like it's all the ones that
all right,
everyone
we get
does.
It. You're talented, Brad.
Not really, but that's what I'm saying. It's like those are all the impressions like everyone does. So that was really cool to watch.
And, but Payman, so directed that, and then what? So then you start picking his brain.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of learned from Payman, honestly, directing.
No kidding.
And from my uncle and a lot of other people, too. Yeah. But
what kind of shit do they throw? I mean, I don't even know how to, because you know, when I do my videos, I would had to do that for the first handful until I found guys that shot and edited and went to film school. And then they were like, hey, we'll direct. And I was like, oh, cool, because now I can only, now I can just worry about the acting and the writing.
Right.
But I don't even know how to get into it if I were to, like... What are the essentials or the things you...
I mean, you just kind of throw yourself in. And just, you make a lot of mistakes in the beginning, and you learn, and then eventually you start getting better. Go ahead.
No, and you even, like, you didn't... People don't realize that you don't just say, I'm going to be a director, and someone hands you the keys to a movie and says, there you go. Like, I watched online your short film.
So good.
Thanks.
Love and Germophobia with T.J. Miller's in it. And
Angela Trimber.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some really funny people. And, that's one of those things where when you're making a short film like that, you probably know in the back of your mind, you're like, well, this probably isn't going to be seen by a lot of people because how many short films... do people watch? Not a lot.
Right.
But you still just do it to get the reps in, right?
Exactly. You do it to get the reps. You do it for tape so that other people hopefully believe in you for bigger stuff where you actually get paid. You do it because you want to make something good.
Yeah, and you wrote, directed, produced that, and then it won a ton of awards.
Yeah. We won Montreal. We won the LA Comedy Festival. Yeah, we won, I think, six festivals for that.
Is that when people started looking at you and be like, that's a guy that can actually do this, not just
That's when I finally started getting my own shit, which was great.
That's awesome.
And then I guess how Payman and you and I all came together was when, for Just Go With It,
that's right.
Remember that thing?
Adam Devine,
with Adam Devine. Listen to this, Brad. So Tyler directs. So this must have been, I don't know, at what part in the process that Adam starts to let you direct, I mean, DVD extra stuff, right? And then online stuff. And then now, I mean, some scenes, right? In movies?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fucking crazy. Not Hateful Eight, Ridiculous Six.
I actually didn't do Ridiculous Six, but I did a bunch of stuff on The Do-Over, which is coming out.
Fuck.
And a lot of stuff on his other...
You were directing second team of Grown Ups 2, Jack and Jill, That's My Boy. What's the second team, just so people...
So, it depends.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's like pretty much anything without the cast... is what, like, you know, if it's a stunt or if it's a beauty shot. And then you kind of hope that, like, maybe they get behind or something and they got to drop something from a scene with an actor.
Yeah.
And then so very occasionally I get to clean up the pieces with, some of the actors. And,
yeah,
okay.
You know, Grown Ups too, I got to do a bunch of that stuff. And
no shit.
It was great.
What?
I mean, I got to shoot with, like, all those guys. It was great.
My God.
Yeah, it was great.
So what's finally directing?
It's a trip.
Uncle
Sam. It's nerve-wracking.
Do you have the stones to be like, David Spade, I think it'd be funny if you tried it this way?
No, I do not. I definitely do not.
But now you do.
At that point, I was just so nervous and so like, oh my God.
And also, you hear this too from certain, like Michael McDonald from MTV, who directs a lot of TV.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that like when he was doing Mike and Molly, he's like, you know what? You're definitely not there just to fill space, but you also go like, they know what the fuck they're doing. So if I have ideas here and there...
Right.
But like somebody like, you know, Spade or Melissa McCarthy, like they're locked in. But you also, you know, you are, if you're comfortable enough, you're there. You are the directors.
Right, so right. You got to make sure, if it doesn't come out good, it's on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? You just think twice to make sure you don't say anything stupid.
Did you say anything to Adam, or did he say that he was like, I got this, man. You know,
exactly. Yeah, I definitely did not give him any notice.
But eventually you're going to, like, you get to the point where you're, like, going to get at least confident enough to.
Yeah,
or...
well, me, you know, I did a sketch with Adam for A Night of Too Many Stars with Bob Barker, and on that.
Wait a minute. You directed that?
Yeah.
The one where they rehashed the fight. Mm-hmm.
From, dude, that Happy Gilmore. Was incredible.
Right. Thanks, man. Thanks,
and difficult to do because there was definitely some cut-in, cut-out scenes where you have a stuntman in there that's got the Barker wig on,
yeah.
And then coming back in and then trying to get those camera angles right. And I actually watched that sketch today.
Oh, cool.
And then it's really hard to tell. There's times when you're like, okay, so that's where the stuntman – oh, wait, no, that's
no,
Bob.
Yeah,
like that's
well, Bob Barker is unbelievable.
Please tell me everything because
– how did he smell?
That guy can still throw a punch.
That's awesome.
It's unbelievable. I think
I'm convinced he's not going to die.
He's never going to die.
I just don't think it's happening.
No, he won't die.
Him and Betty White, they got this fucking collect $200 pass go. Like, nothing's happening to him.
Yeah, no, Bob Barker's in better shape than me.
By the way, that's the name of your autobiography.
Yeah.
Wait, so he's just like, and he's down for whatever?
He, like, fucking did everything. I mean, we obviously had a stunt guy for some of it, but
and he loves Adam.
Yeah, he loves Adam. He was awesome to work with. Super nice guy and funny. Like, literally, that thing, we only did one take of a bunch of the different lines. It was unbelievable. It was the only time I ever shot something and, like, we don't need a second take. Like, he was on always. And it was great. It was that.
Fuck.
But yeah, actually, on that was like the first time I ever kind of gave Adam a note, which was cool. I don't remember. It was a physical note, so it wasn't about performance, which was easier.
But you're,
But you still the nephew telling uncle.
But now, was he receptive?
Yes, he was great. I mean, he's been great. He was very good.
That Just Go With It thing. So that was, I don't know where you were in the getting things to direct for him yet. That was early in it.
Yeah, that was like,
and I remember too, because
the first or second thing.
I remember being a handful of conversations. Because there was a lot going on. It was a big shoot. So basically, it was for Sony, Brad. It was Just Go With It. Remember the Brooklyn Decker, Jennifer Aniston, Schwartz, and Dave Matthews?
I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Fuck. What's her name?
Aniston?
No. The other big actress.
Oh, Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
And so the sketch was Brooklyn Decker like being like one of the guys, right? Mm-hmm. So she's at a table playing poker with me, Adam Devine.
And Payman Benz.
Right?
Sure.
And
not distracting at all?
No.
Brooklyn Decker?
Well, not distracting. Not only was she so gorgeous that day, she was so cool.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable cool that was making it like just, it made you angry almost.
Yeah, because you're like, you exist?
Yeah.
They make this?
Yeah.
And I've heard that when people work with Charlize Theron, because it's like she's one of the guys as well. And I think you actually directed her. And
yeah, I shot with her. She was awesome.
Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she was unbelievable.
Yeah, and like people just like hang out with her. Like, no, like you got to be one or the other. You got to be really cool or really hot, not both.
And she's funny too.
Yeah,
she was a 10.
Brooklyn,
both of them. Yeah,
both of them. Yeah. Yeah, it made me hate Andy Roddick a lot.
Yes,
like I remember buying posters on eBay just to throw darts at them.
I hate that guy.
I hate that guy so much. But so, and we're shooting this thing. But I remember a handful of conversations where they'd be walking around. I was very chaotic. I was like, "How you doing, man?" And you would say some, and again, maybe the Harvard like putting down your like you were like, "I don't know what's going on. I'm just trying to figure it out." But also, then I would look back and I would see you like running shit, and I was like, "Oh no, he knows." Like, you knew, you know,
at that
like,
point, I was finally running shit.
Yeah. Well, you felt very comfortable in your element, even though there was, I mean, huge crew, a lot of shit going on. This house that I think you guys had rented out.
Max Amini's house.
That's whose house it was.
Comedian Max Amini?
Yes.
Wait, who we ended up going to the party at that night with those girls?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that
was just like, hey, you want my house?
Yeah. This like, Max Amini Persian impression brought to you by Tyler Spindell.
Now, I got a question for you. When you're starting to climb the ranks, is there a chip on your shoulder, like knowing that, like, okay, if people think that I'm only here because I'm Adam Sandler's nephew, like, is there that pressure to be good, like to be especially good on top of all that?
I mean, definitely, you know, mm-hmm. I want to prove myself for myself as well.
Sure.
You know, which definitely is like a, you know, internal thing that I got to deal with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess you could say that, you know, makes me work hard and not, you know, it's nice that I have the last different last name at least.
That does help.
So like,
so
you know,
people have
like,
to go through Google to really find that out.
Right. Like, you know, at least now, like, you know, when I go up for things, people don't usually know, which is good.
Yeah. That and you built a career that's outside of just
doing
Adam's movies, because right. you directed how many episodes of Chelsea?
Yeah, I did the sketches
from
show.
Yeah.
Over 300.
Dude, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was great. She was the best. It was fun.
She seems, I mean, I only did the show twice, but the second time she looked at me and said, "Hey, Adam, like, good to see you again." And I was like, "Oh, man, you seem like the shit." And there was no need for her to do that because I was on twice and maybe not coming back. And thanks, Michael Cox. That's what happened. And no, I love you, Mike. But also, fuck you for only making it twice. But I love you. Now he books a Tonight Show.
I know.
So
get Adam Ray on it.
There you go.
But no, so it was, she just seemed so dope. And and we've had, you know, friend Joel on and Josh Wolf and Fortune. Everybody speaks so highly of her. How was she with the sketches? Was she like, yo, do your thing?
She was great. I mean, she was cool. She kind of let us, you know, do our thing. I mean, obviously, she'd have ideas and, you know, notes and stuff, but she's so smart. And she's so smart. Like, the only part, or one of the only people I've worked with who every time they give a note, you're like, oh, yeah, that's better.
Wow.
Yeah, she was great. She was great. Her instincts.
That's a hell of a compliment, because many times when people give notes, you feel like they're just talking just to hear their own voice and trying to justify their own existence, because if they're like, well, if I don't give a note, then why am I here? I don't need to be here. They're going to fire me. So sometimes people say things just to say things, much like I'm doing right now. But so whenever she would give a note, it was to genuinely make the show better, and you looked at it and like, oh, yeah, that works.
Well, she was right. You know, you'd always look at the note and be like, oh, yeah, you're right. And,
well, I love what you said, instincts, because that's something
instincts,
you can't teach.
Her instincts were just always funnier, you know, or funny, you know. She always like made stuff like that, which was
and
cool.
You had moments on that show where, because a lot of the guests and a lot of the people that were in sketches weren't necessarily comedians or weren't necessarily comedic actors and actresses.
Right.
Is it, do you look at some of those sketches when you would see the call list that day, you're like, oh man, how am I going to make that person funny?
A little bit, but I mean, we had such good guests on that show that it was kind of easy. Not easy, but like, you know, if you get Charlize Theron, who's not typically, you don't think she's a comedic actress, you still know she's going to bring it.
Yeah.
She was so directable. Awesome.
Man, I don't think we had everybody was cool because they were excited to be with Chelsea.
Yeah. And the show has the vibe of like, just have fun and be yourself.
So it was like, that's actually where I gained the confidence to direct big actors. Is from working with so many on that show.
Oh, shit.
You know, just like the first, you know, 20 or whatever, you're like, oh, my God, I can't tell them what to do. And then I think I gave Ben Stiller a note one time, and he was, like, cool with it. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can actually give a note to somebody like that.
And with what kind of makes that experience different than, let's say, a movie is that if you give a note to an actor on a movie and he hates you or she hates you because of it, you now have to see them the next day and the day after that.
For the next month.
Yeah, for the month. Yeah, next month. Chelsea, it's a daily show. So you're like, well, you're gone. So if I piss you off, fuck it. It's like you're in a version of Bill Murray's Groundhog Day where you're like, I can just try this shit again and see if I get a different result.
Yeah, it was a great learning process for that. I mean, the only person I just couldn't piss off was her.
I think as long as I don't piss off the boss, then it's okay.
How does that gig even come about? I mean,
that was through my agent's interviews. Yeah. I mean, I got it off the short, off Love and Germophobia with TJ because I won. Now, Chelsea had won an award at Montreal the same year I won.
Oh, cool.
So we're at the same thing, the same award ceremony together.
Fuck.
That's cool. And the whole
networking.
Yeah.
I mean, just right place, right time.
I know.
But also, like, I mean, you, and I think let this be a lesson to anybody who's, whether it's directing or whatever, like, you know, weren't just sitting back waiting for Adam to throw you shit. You're like, I got to do my own thing.
Right.
Made this short. That got you to the festival. That got you around Chelsea. I mean, it's like you create your own good luck.
Right. Yeah. You got to work your ass off.
And Love and Germophobia, like I said, the sketch is available online. You can go watch it. It's a short film. And it's about a guy who's visiting his girlfriend in the hospital when she's really sick and he doesn't want to get sick. But you wrote it. So was that like a
based
personal...
off? Yes.
Okay.
Based off something me being a dick with my ex.
I want to hear about this because I have an ex who didn't visit me in the hospital, and I still hold a grudge.
Well, you're right. I mean, she was right. I was a dick. I fully turning 30, I finally have realized that I was a dick in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to be better. So
I'm starting to do that as well, and it makes me scared to turn 40. Not because it's getting older, but because it's like, oh man, now I'm gonna look back at what I'm doing right now and probably think I'm a dick. Then
no. Oprah says 40 is the new 30. So
oh, fantastic!
Yeah, you're fine.
Sweet. So that's like the new 60 in Dwarf.
Yeah.
There's a whole other scale I didn't even think to...
Exactly.
Wait, now, what in particular, like, as a dude, do you... and I want to, again, then get back to the connection to the short, but, like, going through your 20s, I mean, was there one thing that stood out where you were like, oh, fuck? You talk about just the way you were...
Yeah, in relationships. Yeah. I mean, the movie that I wrote that I might be doing next is about the same type of thing with me in a relationship being a jackass.
Mm-hmm. And why are the 20s so...
I don't know, man.
Well, we don't know. We're figuring it out.
Yeah, I know.
We're still figuring it out. Like, as much as we thought we knew after being awkward in high school, yeah. we're still figuring... Because it's different when you're dating as an adult instead of... As a high schooler, where it's like, all right, we see each other at the school, and then we go home. We go back to our respective homes. We maybe go out to a party or something. We all have the same responsibilities of school. Now people have their lives. We have your lives. There's career. There's different things thrown in the mix.
More to balance.
Yeah, you're an adult. It's a whole lot different, and you're just trying to figure it out.
Definitely wasn't ready for it. So I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to my ex.
They all listen all to the podcast. They all do.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry, guys. Another great book title to my exes. Right. Would you ever write a book Chelsea style? I mean, she's...
It's a good idea. Yeah, I should.
I feel like so many of us could. Like, my buddy Mark Saratella, on a weekly basis, tells me stories that I'm like, there's no way that happened to you. And it was because... And he's a brilliant storyteller because he doesn't skip details. Wow. He paints the picture, and I go... I tell him weekly. And Mark, I know you listen to the podcast, so motherfucker, I told him I would fund the book. I would, like, do everything in my power because these stories, and I'm sure we all know somebody like this right. who just lives this life who, I mean, to be pushing 40 like he is and single, and, you know, he looks good for his age. He's out there. He's still doing it. But, like, he's still putting himself in the positions that I think now we're talking about that we're trying to maybe grow up from. But he's getting these moments that are like, I mean, you don't sleep on a park bench in New York City because the crazy girl you met online locked you out and a boyfriend showed up and then you fucking see the boyfriend later that day. I mean, like, some of these things you can't write. So I'm sure there's – so this thing with the girl in the hospital.
Yeah. That was based off truth where we thought she had meningitis and okay. I was freaked out and wouldn't touch her and she wanted to hold my hand and I was like, you're not touching me.
And her family and friends were there. They're like – Hold her.
I was,
hold her.
No, that literally was it. And she had a friend, and she
like, nah.
She was like scared that she had meningitis, and I was wearing this mask. And she was like, I miss you. I want to see your face. Will you take off the mask? And I was like, no.
Dude, like, you know, Batman.
Like, right, yeah. And then her friend took off the mask. She was like, don't worry, I'll take off the mask. And it just fucked me so
what
hard.
A fucking, I mean, that's like.
Yeah.
Like, if we're on the same page, friend,
yeah.
if we just both stay in the same lane,
did you have a pre-hospital room chat about that? Look, we're going mask on the whole time, right?
I should have. It was stupid. It was so stupid.
No matter what happens, that mask stays on.
So if she's listening, go fuck yourself.
So when you wouldn't take it off, I mean...
It was not a good moment, you know. She was upset, and
but no matter how hard she cried, you're like, yeah. "Look, it ain't coming off."
Yeah, but she was nice and didn't get that. She didn't break up with me, which was baffling. I would have broken up with me.
But. Yeah,
sure, but then like you have in that there's parts of that with women that don't necessarily go away. I you know what? I'm gonna air some dirty laundry right now.
I love it.
Don't give a shit.
Yeah. Hey, Tyler's being honest. You gotta be honest too.
Yeah. There was a thing where my girlfriend wants to hold my hand when I drive, and I'm like, I can't.
Wait,
I'm
what?
Driving. Like, I'm driving. Right, I need two hands on the wheel.
That's a big no-no.
Yeah, and she's like, no, well, just, like, it's L.A., there's traffic. And I'm like, but two hands on the wheel. And she had a friend come and visit, and the friend was like, I've heard about the hand-holding thing, and you have got to hold her hand. I'm like, what if I get into a fucking accident? And she's like, well, then as you're rolling down the hill, you hold her hand. I'm like, are you listening to the words that you're saying right now?
That
is insane.
That is like...
So I have to die to prove my love?
Yeah, girls need to check themselves with this Three Musketeers, all for one, one for all bullshit.
Yes!
Because... That's life or death.
Yes.
Holding hands while you drive.
Yes. I would think that it proves my love for you more than I want to have both hands on the
that
wheel.
That I want you to live?
Yes. That I want you to continue living on this earth?
Just being really short-sighted. Just being really short-sighted.
Why ain't I got the short joke, Tyler? Son of a bitch. Kick me while I'm down, why don't you?
You know what? That's crazy. And that is, I mean, but, you know. It also speaks to the fact that you are truly a comedian, because to go through all that and then to think years later to write about it,
yeah.
I mean, that's...
That's half the reason I went through it.
Yeah.
You know, so of course. It's going to be funny. Might say something funny after.
You're writing the whole thing as it's going down.
We are all sick that way. Where I think pretty much anyone involved in comedy, whenever some sort of thing is like... pretty much in the moment is happening to you. Yes, your part of your brain is like, I'm going to deal with this situation right now.
Right.
I'm going to make sure it goes well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in the back of your head, like, oh, fuck, this is going to be funny later.
Right, yeah, right. But go ahead.
A good joke is worth possibly ending a relationship.
I mean, could not have said it better myself. Yeah, dude. And you know what? Brad, sick, you say sick. We are sick like that. But also, like, lucky, I feel. Because to condition yourself enough to find the humor in tragedy is a blessing, because a lot of people can't do that. And hey, I'm not saying we don't have souls or hearts and don't get sad about sad shit. But, you know, like, to have the foresight to go like, this is going to be funny. I mean, the fights I used to get in with an ex of mine, like, I would think like, how funny is this? And I'm like, there's a bit in this, as it was happening. And I would, not that I mean, I might prolong the fight a little bit to, like you said, get a little more material out of it.
Like, say something good, say
something
good.
Maybe that is sick, but I mean, also,
but then,
you know, also
the fact that we're literally trying to find the humor in everything.
Yes. At the end of the day, we're still people that have compassion.
I once got in trouble during a fight with my current girlfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was saying some really funny things, and I was afraid I was going to forget them. So in the middle of the fright, I started taking notes.
That's brilliant.
She was so mad at me.
Yeah, I could see that.
But then
at the same time, I see as a comedian, I see your perspective of like, when that moment strikes you, you're like, oh no,
did you get it down?
Because
then the girl's like, look, if we're going to fight, can we just fight and not have it be a note session?
I want to. Am I going to see this later in one of your skits? Yeah.
That's what I used to. Yeah, my ex used to say that a lot. She's like, "You're going to put this in your act." I was like, "Don't flatter yourself." No, I wouldn't say that. I'd be like, "Yeah, you are going in. You're especially going to be talked about on a podcast, sweetheart."
My ex used to be like, "You know, you don't do anything romantic for me." My ex used to write songs for me, and I was like, "Well, I wrote a joke for you."
You did your art, I did mine.
I wrote a joke about you.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. That's
sorry, Jack Johnson Jr. isn't here tonight. But.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if I was a painter, I'd paint you a picture.
That's right.
But I'm a comedian, so I'm going to write a joke about your vagina. That's what we do.
Boy, the guys who have the music stuff on lockdown, though, good for that. I mean, don't you? How often do you just see, like, a John Legend and go, God, if only I had stuck with piano lessons.
Dude, they get it, man.
I mean, they get it. But also, hey, comedy, we're fine. And that's dope. And that is a very – we've cornered the market on something not everybody can do.
By the way
– that being said –
a little while ago, I met this gorgeous girl. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe a girl this hot is talking to me. I go out on a first date with her, and the whole time she's like, oh, my God, do you know this comedian? He's the best, Adam Ray. And you had been there first, and then I ran away.
Oh, no!
this guy has gotten the hottest girl in the
world. No,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was just like, said your name with such like an aura about it.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, all right.
Okay. Well, you know what? Hey, look. I don't talk about my...
Don't apologize, first of all.
Well, I mean...
You better not.
I will say this, too. I don't...
Say with pride.
I guess I date, but I also, like, I wouldn't consider myself... You know, I know people that are just straight-up animals, and I don't... But, well, all right. Well, I would ask you to... So you can say the name off air.
I'll tell you after.
Yeah. Will you
actually even remember.
Okay.
But I remember... Yeah.
Remember what she looked like?
Yeah.
You could find her picture?
Probably.
Okay.
Oh, right. I do actually. I remember.
Okay.
Okay. There you go. Well, we'll definitely have a fun topic of conversation in a few minutes, but
what if it was like Mrs. Williams?
Hey, wait, I'm gonna assume that's a cousin.
yeah, not Brad's mom.
Yeah, exactly. She is a saint.
How big is the Spindell Sandler family?
Big. Yeah. Well, I mean, on my mom's side, which is Sandler side, there's four brothers or four total.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
And then I got a couple cousins, and then on my dad's side, we got three, and he's got two brothers.
Everybody cool?
Yeah.
And cool. Have you plucked, because you know they say write about what you know, and I mean, Brad and I both have started to really dive into the family stuff for material, yeah. And I'm sure there's got
to... Yeah. I'm writing something... Or I'd never, yeah, I keep putting it away because I don't want to dig too deep into family.
Yeah.
But yes, I do.
Because there's so much other stuff to write about, but yeah. I guess.
And you know what? Talking about family, I found out when I was doing material about my dad fighting cancer, there was times when it was like I just wasn't ready
right.
to do that. I wasn't as far separated as I needed to be right. to actually look at it and find the funny. I was still looking at it like, oh God, you know, like, and I didn't need to do that as a, so yeah, there's times when you could like, you can hint at it and you could right. peck at it, but then I'm sure there'll be a moment when you come back to it. And then you go like, okay, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to make this funny and come at it from an outsider perspective.
I go into it, but
big reunions. I mean, do you guys have big?
We're always. I mean, my family's out here constantly.
Oh, really?
It's great. It's great. They're the best. But we're very tight.
Where is you guys rent a big thing, or do you go to a?
We'll go to my uncle's house. Yeah. Or, mm-hmm. You know, it depends. But
we've heard from Nick Swartzen that he does throw pretty legendary parties.
Yes.
Well, I went to the first time. I went to the party.
The holiday party.
Not this last year, but the year before. Were you there?
Oh yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
I ran into Brandon there.
I'm sure I saw you.
Maybe I did see you there.
Yeah.
But
no,
hey,
an unbelievable
it's
party.
Fine for us to not remember that. Because, and maybe we can bring Brad this next year.
Yeah, all right, you guys got
to
come.
I mean, awesome. Okay, I'll go to the holiday party. I'm not dressing up as an elf. I'm just
well,
putting.
No costumes allowed.
I'm putting my size 4 foot down right now and saying there will be no curly toed shoes.
Well, what if that costume gets you on stage to dance with like some rock legends? You know?
Well then I'll do it, obviously. But other than that, firm stance.
That party might be. You must. I mean, so you've gone the probably since it started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That might have been. The greatest party I've ever been to.
It's my favorite party of the always every year. It's unbelievable.
Swartzen and I, can you at least just, Swartzen broke it down when he was here a little bit, because I think the last one he went to, he spoke about the bands who were there, and I think it was like, in his eyes, was the greatest lineup there had been.
God, I'm trying to, it was some people from Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
The Eagles.
Yep.
There's always Vanilla Ice every year.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I just that's a casual, that line. Yeah. That's a throwaway. Yeah.
Every year.
That, I lost
Rob,
my shit.
Rob shows up.
I love him. Yeah, he's
Rob Van
great.
Winkle, right?
I mean, the place always goes the crazy.
How did he and Adam even become pals? Is that...
Well, that's my boy. He was in That's My
that's
Boy.
That's right.
And I think, I'm not sure, I think they knew each other.
They just become, people just become friends with Adam after they do his movies, right? Because he's so dope.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Dave Matthews are probably...
Yeah, Dave is...
And you know. I love that he always puts, like, random cameos you would never think of. Like, wasn't Rex Ryan
in the movies? Made fun of it. He called Bill Belichick the master in that.
Yeah.
It's
Rex Ryan's in a movie. Like, in I always love people that you can tell that they're not taking... Like, they're hardworking, but they're not taking themselves so seriously that they can't step back and go, holy shit, I can call up anyone. And just get them to say two lines in my movie. I mean, when Al Pacino does...
dances in your movie.
Wait a minute.
Dances in your movie and does a fake drink for Dunkin' Donuts and calls it the Dunkachino. That is Al Pacino. I'm endorsing this. The Dunkachino. You're just like, okay,
please tell me you met him at all.
I met him very briefly. But he was very
an essence, an right. I mean, like
he's cool.
Yeah,
it's there's a reason why you're Al Pacino.
Oh, yeah, he's smooth, man. You just kind of just meet him and are attracted to him.
Like, oh man, you're old, but damn it, I would still totally hit that. I'm not gay, but yeah. Fucking Sonny Corleone.
This party, you know, I think when I ran into Brent, well, first of all, it's just like, I mean, describe for me the feeling when you first went to it, because you had to have been, because it's
it
been
was,
going
it's
for
a shock and awe.
Because it's been
shock
going for how many years now? 10 or something?
I don't know. I've probably been going for since I've been out here, so maybe 7-8 years.
Dude, okay, so you're at a prime party age,
yeah,
and an age to where you're still getting your feet wet in the business. So when you see that, I mean, you're just like...
It's mind-blowing. That party is just mind... I mean, it's every celebrity. Everybody's like bowling and ice skating. Like,
that's the thing that people don't realize. It's not just this main floor where the concert's happening.
Yeah.
And by the way, food and booze at every corner.
Yeah, oh, it's unbelievable.
Every corner. Like, I would pick up an Oreo dipped in some sort of weird, fancy chocolate fucking thing wrapped in between a piece of high-end bologna, and then I would turn around and grab a Kobe beef slider. Sorry, I couldn't reach the Kobe beef slider because that was being intercepted by the fucking personal pan pizza. I mean, it was just
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's a crazy party. Like, I remember one of the first years I
went to arcades.
Arcades. I brought one of my dumb buddies from Harvard, who's this big, you know, nerdy guy, out of shape.
From Harvard?
From Harvard.
No.
And he was my plus one.
From where?
Yeah. That's right.
Oh,
that's
right.
And he's
partying with Adam
Lord. He's going to die. We're going to lose Brad.
I might die
podcast.
On this. You know what? Worth it. Worth it. Hope you guys write a joke about it.
So he loses his mind.
So I bring him, and we're ice skating, and he sucks at ice skating, and he falls, and he takes out this girl, and the girl slowly is like, it's a bad fall, and the girl pops up, and it's Paris Hilton. And fuck out Paris Hilton on the ice skating.
I mean, I think I should reward him for that, right? Yeah. There should be some kind of ransom
was
money.
Was the standing
like,
O 5 minutes or 10 minutes?
I mean, I hope they had a camera on him like in the first Iraq war, where they would just have missiles fly right into some guy's living room.
Funny.
So he'd just like have a camera.
She's a sweet
girl. Take her out. Take her
out.
You. Oh, listen to her album and tell me if she's sweet.
She has an album?
She has the Stars Are Blind. That's a, that's her single. That's her single. The Stars Are Blind.
Would you mind pulling it up?
Oh, you know I will, just to mock. I don't mind doing this.
Because I don't want to have to do it by myself.
No, there was a time when this song angered me so much, and my friends knew it did, so they just would play it constantly. Just like, it became everyone's ringtones, and then text alerts and everything, so that like I heard this song so much. And I definitely, it was my fault, because... As a guy, when you hear that something really pisses off your friend, you expose him to that thing constantly.
Of course.
That's what you do. I don't know why we're so fucking sick.
Ty, what once you... So the getting out to L.A. Mm-hmm. with the amount of experience that you had, was it really a, like, I'm learning from the experience that I'm getting? I mean, did you take any classes, or did you ever maybe just sit down with Adam and he gave you like a 5 hour, like saying, or do people say watch these movies, or like, I guess
it was like, I mean, it was kind of just bit
read
by
books
bit.
Or?
Yeah, I did. I'm a nerd, so I did read books, but I don't know that actually helped. Honestly, it just, the thing that helped me was just trial and error. It was just like shooting and shooting.
And that's why I'm making the videos, the Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And I mean, just, When we did the Just Go With It thing, were you making other
Yeah, shorts? I was shooting sketches constantly. Break.com, I don't know that they...
Yeah, I do remember, yeah.
I remember Break.com.
They were great to me.
Awesome.
And used to let me direct all these, you know, little viral commercials.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of as I was learning, it was the best. And that's kind of how I learned
that
to
was,
direct.
They're back when we were, like, in college, right after college, there were so mm-hmm. many websites. Your College Humor, Break.coms, mm-hmm. So many others that I can't even think of right now. But like, there were so many great opportunities for people to make content and just put them up and just see what happened to them. And as a kid, like, you would just be like, oh, perfect. Because YouTube is almost, there's just too much, because it's everything. You're like, oh, but you want to see funny videos? You go to Break.com. You go to Funny or Die.
Netflix,
you go to
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just, you could expose yourself to everything. Whereas YouTube, you could accidentally expose yourself to Paris Hilton singing Stars Are Blind.
He's so good at segues.
He
used to be a morning radio DJ.
This is how this goes.
Oh, God.
It's not as bad as I remember.
It's not as bad as
I
thought it was going to be.
How dare you?
I kind of like it.
This is an abomination of music.
I like her.
Yeah.
I like her.
I'm not opposed.
I may download this later. We'll see.
Again? Re-download?
Re-download.
It's going to say you already purchased?
Damn you.
But I've already put it on 5 computers, so I got to get it again.
All right. Well, how's the video? Can you work out to it and lose weight?
I should.
Hold on. There's the video.
I could work out to that.
Oh, my God.
She's just doing Paris Hilton things. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, she's unbelievable, dude. It's, you know...
Yeah.
I give her credit, man.
It's catchy. Jesus. And you know what?
Yeah.
She's what? She's created.
I mean, she's created an empire. I'll give her that.
I think, look.
I don't know you guys anymore.
Have your take on the Kardashians and all that. I'm not a, do I keep up with them? No.
How dare you?
Do I buy their products? No. You. Have I watched a couple of half episodes on a plane when I was, a little drunk and I wanted to hate watch something? Yeah. Did I love it? No. Did I watch it? Yeah. Did I marvel at what they've done? Yeah. Did they like hone in on a chunk of this country that loves that shit? I mean, kudos, I guess.
A large chunk, dude.
Yeah.
Because
you can't not say that it's brilliant because
well, there is something to be said and I will
look how tongue-tied we all are.
I will falsely try to relate this back to your uncle. Because
Kris Jenner right now is sitting over a crystal ball going, oh, that's right, Brad. Try to talk about us articulately. You cannot.
No. Yeah. But like, because there are movie critics and parts of Hollywood that absolutely despise Adam Sandler movies. You know this exists, and you have to be like, and I love the reaction that he gives, which is always like, yeah, but we're not making these for you. We're not making these movies.
Yeah, you mean
for
two people
critics
that hate their lives?
Yeah,
these critics that are just
we're making this for people if they find them funny.
Right.
We don't care who like if Rotten Tomatoes gives that 100%. People enjoyed it.
I guess what a lot of people went and saw whatever. There's so many people in the world and so many different types of comedy. And it's so subjective that it's like, what something can be for this slice of the pie, right?
And
like what I've always said is like he makes what he wants to make,
yeah.
And like that's all you can do, you know. And I, you know, I'm his biggest fan. You know, a lot of people do. You know, sometimes the critics get, don't love it, but
that doesn't faze him, does it?
Yeah, no,
no.
It's the thing that always gets me or the critics that go so far. I'm like, Adam Sandler needs to stop making movies. It's like, no one's forcing you to watch this.
Right, right.
Like, yes,
if you don't like it, shut the fuck up.
I will talk shit about the Paris Hilton song, sure, but if someone likes that, who am I to say, like, hey, that thing that's giving you pleasure that doesn't affect my life in any way whatsoever, stop it. No, who gives a fuck? Who cares? People enjoy the movies. They go to it. They like it. No one has to sit and watch. Like, maybe that's why the critics are mad, because they don't like the movies and it's their job to sit and watch them.
Right.
But, like, to say that so much to stop doing that, it's like, oh, Larry the Cable Guy shouldn't do stand-up. He filled a fucking football stadium. Right. He sold it out. You can't say that he's not funny.
Well, there's got to be jealousy, too, because, and you can attest to this, like, he's created an empire where, I mean, the careers, like, to give Schneider that many movies.
Right.
I mean, I can't even think of anyone else who has built up such a brand where literally they can do anything.
Right.
At any point. An idea comes in and I'd go, yeah, we can make that happen. Who else can do that?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
And
so,
he put so many friends in the films and past SNL cast members. Like, the fucking car wash scene of Grown Ups 2, was it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That had, like,
that was
12 SNL cast members. Like, it was fucking everybody. He includes everyone in his projects, and he creates a great environment and creates content for people who enjoy it. So
Shaq, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
He's given Shaq an acting career.
Holy shit.
I mean, right? Straight up.
He has. Shaq is funny, man.
He is very funny.
Shaq is really
Did you get to direct him in anything?
No, I wish I did.
Are there people that, as you're getting into this, you're like, I mean, obviously, like, on the A-list, there's probably a giant list. But, I mean, that, like, that you're coming across to with these films or your own that you're like, this, or even actors that you just respect and you're like, yeah, at some point I would love to.
You know who I was watching the other day and I'm just, like, in awe of how good he is? It's Stephen Merchant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy
Great call.
Fuck.
And the fact that he's got a... I mean, maybe people lose sight of how talented he is because he's next to Ricky Gervais, and people just see Ricky and they're like,
"Yeah, but Hello Ladies, he crushes."
Hello Ladies,
you love that show?
So
Me too.
Fucking funny.
So funny.
Yeah.
What do you love about what about him? Do you want to?
I mean, honestly, I would just like to work with him.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's funny as shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
He is funny.
Here's a question for you: If you could go back, like, if you had some sort of time machine, mm-hmm. and you could give advice to 23, 24-year-old Tyler, like, what would you say to yourself?
Quit stand-up sooner.
Really?
And get into directing faster.
Do you think you held on to that a little too long?
Yeah, because it was fun, you know?
Sure.
And you were good, dude.
Well, thank you. I mean, listen, I had the problem was I had the best time doing it. Mm-hmm. And about probably 3 years before I quit, I knew that I wanted to direct full-time, and I knew that I wasn't like a real stand-up.
Oh, wow. But why? What was missing?
I never was comfortable on stage. I was just never, ever truly comfortable, and I never could be truly myself on stage.
It isn't so weird that you can say that sentence, that I was never truly comfortable on stage, right after you said the sentence, I've never had more fun.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, it was fun.
That is weird, huh?
Yeah, because there's something about that being uncomfortable and being not in your own skin, but then saying something that you're like, oh, God, is this going to work? And then you say it, and then it does. That rush is just the greatest.
Because,
it's indescribable.
Because I always found you very comfortable.
Oh, thank you.
But also, I'm not in Tyler's head, so I don't know maybe the anxiety that could have been going on from, or maybe there was fun, but it wasn't met with the amount of fun that you were wanting there to.
You know what happened actually that finally made me decide, go, you know what, you shouldn't do this. You should maybe go behind the scenes. So I had this joke that I wrote that I knew was fucking funny, and I just knew it was great. I don't remember what it was, but it was a great joke. Mm-hmm. I kept doing it, and I kept eating shit on stage, and I just couldn't figure it out. And then I gave it to my buddy Steve Trevino, I think. And he did it and annihilated with it and just annihilated. And I was like, maybe I should I'd be better behind the camera. And that was when I kind of was like, all right, you know what, maybe. And then I started, looking at it that way, and it just felt so much more natural. But then I hung on to stand up. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. But but that had to be a really weird moment to be like, okay, when I say these words,
they don't get a laugh.
Not funny.
Right.
When he says these words, funny.
But that's comedy, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking performance, and you can write a good joke, and if you don't say it right.
Oh, sure. There's times when, for whatever thing I'm doing, that sometimes they make you write out your act and send it to you, and it's like your act written out.
Okay, that's the worst. Reading it, and you're like,
and
oh, no, I'm terrible.
I read it back. I'm like, this is not good. Why do people laugh at this? And then, but then I perform it that night, and they laugh. And I go, okay, well,
yeah, because there's more. Yeah,
there's more to it than just the words on the page. It's all the other intangibles.
Even for somebody like Stephen Wright, couldn't just write it out. It's like there's still a delivery and a timing and a performance element to it.
Absolutely.
How long into quitting stand-up were you when I brought you and Brandon to San Diego? Like, were you... Did it come shortly after that?
That night made me quit.
No. Well, dude... working with Adam Ray made me go, you know what? Never again.
No way. Ty crushed that night. That's why I was so bummed.
Maybe a year?
Okay.
I don't remember, but maybe 2 years. I was on my... Decline.
On the way down.
Well, yeah.
You were on the farewell tour.
Yeah, that was a farewell tour. That was a fun night, though.
Dude, that night.
That's what made me keep doing it.
See, that was. Like and Brad, I think I've told you briefly about that night, but so Tyler and Brandon go down to Lestat's in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
Great little coffee house in San Diego near the beach. We were staying at the Comedy Store condo. So our plan was, again, hit the stage, meet some ladies, go to the beach.
Yeah.
I'm walking out. I get off stage. The host is on stage. I'm out there handing out my postcards, check out my video. Please look at me more, and I see a couple cops, just San Diego cops, cruising the street. And because I smoke pot, and I see a cop, it's the same thing when I drive. I immediately go like, "Do I have my tabs? I just get paranoid. Like,
sure.
I'm because I just
I think we all do when a cop pulls up behind us. We're like,
what are we doing wrong? Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, do I have weed on me? I've never done coke, but even in that moment, I was like, do I have a pound of coke in my hat? Am I hiding it under my hat? Like, I just fucking...
Am I a drug mule? Do I have bags of heroin in my anus?
As I'm
thinking... I thought that many times.
I'm thinking that...
Just me?
As I'm thinking that, yes. As I'm thinking that, a cop walks by me and we share a glance, and maybe I had that guilty look in my face, and then all of a sudden I just feel two hands grab me and go, don't fucking move. And I go, what? And I'm wearing a green V-neck shirt. It wasn't that deep. And my backwards backwards Mariner hat.
Yeah.
And he goes, get on the ground. The other one puts me on the ground. By the way, this is moments after I get out off stage.
Yeah.
So everyone's about to leave. And I go, what are you guys doing? They go, we've gotten word that and don't move, that somebody that looked just that fits your description was here last night spooking kids in windows and creeping outside of people's houses. Yeah. And I get on the ground. I'm on the ground being like, fellas, do you really think if I was spooking in this neighborhood, I would show up the next night in the same fucking outfit? And they're like, keep talking, son, and we'll take you downtown to the chief. I go, there's a chief? What is this, Carmen Sandiego? They're like, keep talking. Yeah. And then everyone starts walking out. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have to deal with the embarrassment of getting off stage. And now I'm on the ground with my arms around my back and my postcard's there. And people see and they're like, what happened? And I'm like, it's a misunderstanding. They're like, stop talking. I'm like, so then I'm just waving my hands and they're like, hey, great show, man. Great show. Trying to tell the cops, like, because I'm trying to tell them, I'm like, look, I just got off stage right there.
Right.
Tyler and Brandon come out. I don't know what you guys thought. You were
I remember it. I remember. I was trying to say too. Like he's the comedian on stage. You guys got the wrong guy.
Yeah,
you're crazy.
And then then finally after about 25-30 minutes, they let me. They go, all right, you checked out. You're fine. And I wanted to like say something, but I was, man, I remember being so pissed.
I do remember them going, are you with him? And me going, no, definitely not.
And that's why Tyler Spindell is a great friend.
It's like, why is he wearing that mask? I won't touch him. He's probably got meningitis. that was a great night.
Oh, see, it happens to white people, too.
That's right.
It's rare,
that's
but it right. happens.
It's rare, yeah. I mean, yeah, come on, let's be honest. That's like one in a million. But,
yeah, sure.
But,
it's kind of like the lottery. It could be you. You could be the white guy that gets racially profiled.
Now, I want to know this before we wrap up. So Adam's doing this now stand-up tour with Norm and Spade and Swartzen, which have you seen?
I saw the first run of it. It was awesome.
I mean, I can only imagine.
Comedy Store, right?
No, I went up to Vegas, actually. They did the Hard Rock.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Nice point.
Yeah, Nick said that was bananas.
Nice way to start.
Unbelievable.
I saw them when Adam popped in on the Spade and Friends show at the store and did the music. And he's got a buddy playing piano.
Yeah, Bula. Right. Dan Bula.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And he actually, his wife was there, and he did a version of the Hanukkah song. And I'm sure you heard it, and changed it to about her.
Yeah, I think I've heard that.
The Hanukkah song. The
Wedding Singer song.
Wedding Singer song, yeah, Grow Old With You.
Yes.
I mean, and just the fact, as he was playing that, I was like, oh, that's fucking also incredible. That, like, that to me, that's top three favorite movies of all time, Wedding Singer. And to have, like, that musical part, I mean, is that, so I guess my question is, now that he's coming back to stand up like that, is there a future of you returning in some sort of fashion? Like do you see him doing that?
A reunion tour.
Do you want to go back to Lestat's next weekend?
Do you want to go back and watch two cops falsely arrest Adam Ray?
But I'm saying, seeing him do it, do you go, oh, wow, that some of the fun comes back?
Listen, going to the show, there's a huge part of me that was like, man, I wish I was up there.
Yeah.
Because like seeing like, you know, the big laughs, and I remember the rush, and it's the best. So I do miss it when I go, but I'm much happier now. And I'm, you know, happy that I met all the comedians and, you know, get to cast them and stuff.
Oh, I was going to say, like, that's, I mean, got such a great perk that you got to, like, insert yourself in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as a director, shit, man, like, what a great thing world to have lived in for a perspective and experience when you're...
It did teach me how to direct comedy a little bit, though.
Yeah.
It definitely did. Like, timing and, you know.
Well, it gives you the experience of what the comedian might be thinking or what and what they're going through, what their perspective is.
Mm-hmm.
So many times you get a director that doesn't know that world at all. And it's nice to have, like, even if it was just a brief stint, it's nice to have someone that has done it, that knows what it's like, as Buddy Hackett says, to walk that last 20 feet and actually go on that stage. They know what the person is going through, and that's probably one of the reasons why that even, you know, getting the opportunities that you got at such a young age, you were able to run with it, and you were able to relate, and you were able to be successful because you had that background.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't give up. You know, my stand-up experience for the world is the best.
Yeah,
it really was. So maybe, I don't know.
Well, what if I start a Facebook, or a Kickstarter?
I'm Jewish, so how much? For enough money, I can get that.
Perfect.
Well, thanks for coming on the pod.
Thank you, guys.
This was awesome.
This was so much fun.
You were great. You're going to have to do more of these.
Thanks, guys. This is my first podcast, so it was a lot of fun. It was a pleasure.
I'm looking for your Facebook page. There's just a sign. I guess Zuckerberg deleted it?
Already.
He's so tapped in. He heard this podcast before it aired. Heard the MySpace chatter.
I'm now about to be killed.
He wouldn't hurt a fly.
I hope not. Sorry, Zuckerberg.
Wait, are you on the social media?
Well, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on. You're in there. I have an Instagram.
Okay. What do you post?
Not much.
Yeah.
You know, I
bitches,
I
right? Bitches. Just straight bitches.
A lot of bitches. Right?
Wait. So Do-Over's coming out.
Do-Over
when?
Comes out in a few weeks. I got a show that I directed for YouTube Red.
Oh, that's right. Let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah, it's called Sing It. It's YouTube Red's first half-hour sitcom.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, nice. It's exciting.
YouTube Red is the subscription-based service.
So you
got
you know, it's their premium subscription-based service, and the show premiered at Tribeca a couple weeks ago, and that went well.
Awesome.
And,
there you go.
So yeah, that comes out kind of actually around the same time as the Do-Over.
Nice.
And so, yeah, it's a fun show. So. You know,
can you tell people about?
Yeah, it's basically a parody of American Idol. It's like 30 Rock instead of, you know, parodying a sketch show.
Dude, I fucking love that.
You know, it's parodying Idol. And it's funny. You know, it's a funny kind of, you know, it's a younger audience, but it's, you know, because it's YouTube.
Come on.
But it's a, you know, I think the show could be really cool. Really big, yeah.
And that's going to be something that starts to build. Because when they released it, I know there was a lot of people talking like, well, they've been getting YouTube for free, so why would people pay for it? But now you're giving them full original content shows that, you know, hell, they said Netflix couldn't do an original show, and then House of Cards comes out and goes, oh, fuck. Like, game changer.
Yeah.
So,
and you're already online.
Yeah.
And there's still only a handful of places where you're getting original content. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, CISO's starting to get into the game, but like, so YouTube, if they have this built-in audience, why wouldn't you be doing that?
Yeah, so I'm crossing my fingers, you know, we'll see what happens.
The fact that you directed there first, that's crazy.
It was awesome. It was fun.
The YouTube space is amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Is that where you shot the whole time?
We shot the whole thing there. We cut the whole thing. We did everything there. That place is cool to shoot at.
It's just state of the art.
It's awesome. It's awesome. We didn't have one problem, which never happens.
Can you give anyone like an insight into who's never been to the YouTube space? Like, just like what?
It's a playground. It's a playground. They got, first of all, I got the most unbelievable coffee.
They know where to start.
They do.
But you know what? That goes a long way, dude. You can tell a lot by places' coffee and toilet paper.
Very nice toilet paper.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
This is interesting. Unisex bathrooms.
Ooh.
So there's like these giant bathrooms with like 8 stalls. And it's unisex, and the sink is for everybody. And
you
so
hear that, North Carolina? YouTube has bathrooms for everybody.
Wait, so you literally take a shit next to a girl.
How is that?
It's okay.
The best response ever, dude.
That was as good as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. That's awesome.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah. A little right. separation.
So good. Yeah. So good coffee. Good shitting means good content.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they should put that above the door.
YouTube.
And all the employees should come in and hit it like the Notre Dame football players with the play like a champion today.
It's a play button you have to hit.
Yeah. Good coffee, good shitting. Thanks for good content. There it is.
That's amazing. All right, so Do-Over. So look out for both those. This will be up in the next few weeks, so people can check those out. And stay tuned for more from Ty.
Well, thank you, guys, and thanks, everybody.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it?
Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.